Okay, can you hear me?
Hello?
So remember, when the alarm goes off at 11:30, that's just my reminder to be quiet, wind it down, and we're going to start praying. All right? You know how much I love putting the Holy Spirit on a clock. Yes? They are set up. So it's more about like scooting food around and things, you know. But thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Because Mike would have done that. I know you. All right. What do you want to talk about?
God.
That's a start. That's a start. It puts us in the ballpark. Cool. So we have been talking about being a disciple for, well, probably about since the flood. And last week we talked about how the Lord, for 2 weeks we talked about how the Lord is calling us to pursue a deeper anointing. We talked about the parable of the brides, right? We talked about that for 2 weeks. And we talked about how Christ came back for 10, but out of the 10, 5 were ready and they had the oil for the lamps, right? And 5 didn't. We also talked about how those 5 that were called foolish, that didn't have the oil, they were still invited to come and meet him, right? So this wasn't a story about sinners and saints. It's a story about all saints, just some were wise, prepared, and ready, and some weren't for his return, right? All right. Someone said, I have never heard an Advent introduction like that. You know, can I be honest? Not that it matters, but I didn't even like feel like the Lord was saying, let's prepare an Advent story. It was just on my heart, and then it just came out, you know. So we're going to continue reading in Matthew 25. If you're looking for Advent scriptures, honestly, it's just like, you know, December 24 and 25th, just Matthew 24, 25. Read those things. It's all about his coming, his return, and there's no other scripture in my mind that just stands out so blatantly and boldly as Jesus telling us about his return, you know? This is not like some prophet, third-party guy receiving it from the Spirit. I mean, this is Jesus himself telling us what it's going to be like, you know? All right, cool. So we left off last week in Revelations 19, 7 through 8, that there was worship going on in heaven after the rapture and after the fulfillment of all things in Scripture, where in the worship they said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, that's the bride, hath made herself ready. Can you imagine that part of the worship song is, she got ready? I know, it sounds like duh, right? Like, every lady who's going somewhere gets ready, right? Yeah. I mean, for us guys, we just smell our shirt, make sure it's good, we put it on and go. But, you know, the bride, she makes herself ready. And part of the worship of heaven is that she was ready. Jesus is like, I came for her, and she was ready. She wanted to meet me, and she desired to be like me and to have a like heart, and you know, she gave up everything to pursue me first, and now we get to finish what we started. And you know, before it was like engagement, but now it's forever, you know what I mean? Part of the worship was that she got ready. Part of the other 5 in our story of the parable of the brides are outside in outer darkness, is what it's called. Jesus didn't refer to it as hell, and so I don't want to tell you that that's hell. Outer darkness, it's a place of obscurity, the Greek word is for darkness. It was a place of obscurity. 5 are on the outside saying, why didn't we prepare? Why didn't we get ready? Why didn't we carry with us the thing that he gave us, the anointing, right? Yeah. It could be. It could be scary. I don't want to spread fear. That was not my purpose. Perfect love casts out fear, but I understand. So when that story was over, Jesus didn't stop talking. He continued on in verse 14 with this scripture. So Matthew 25, 14. Thank you. You're awesome. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. I'll get back to that in a second. And unto one he gave 5 talents. That's units of money. That's not talents as in, I'm a talented person, right? So if you think about it like your talents, your gifts, it has nothing to do with that. It's just a unit of money, okay? To another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And I'll get back to that. And straightway took his journey. That's kind of like Jesus, you know. He goes on this long trip. It's about a 2,000-year trip so far. And we don't know how long it's going to take, and we don't know when he's coming. I mean, I'd love to say, and I do believe, he's coming in our lifetime. But we got to train and prepare for it as if, right? Every military trains and prepares for the fight that they hope they never have to have, right? So we're going to prepare and train like he's coming. Did you notice how in the first underlined bold word it says he delivered unto them his goods? His goods. That Greek word actually means, wow, what's that? It's okay. That Greek word actually means property and possessions, okay? It's like a literal, the Lord left in his story and delivered unto his disciples, that's us, okay, his goods, his property, his possessions. Why is this important, Daryl? Because he's giving us something that is not our own, okay? He's giving us something that's not our own. That means when we go through the rest of the story, you're going to be saying, Lord, what is it that you want of mine? Nothing. He wants what's his. Right? When the guys brought the coin to Jesus and they said, who, you know, should we pay our taxes, right? And he said, whose face? It's Caesar's. Give unto Caesar what's Caesar's. This is the more important one. Give to God what belongs to God. Right? Whose image do you bear? Him. You were made in the image of God, right? And he's asking you to give him back what he gave you, not what you have. It's not about your stuff. Because, I mean, pretty much what we have is junk anyways, right? It's what did he give us? What did he entrust us with? What kind of goods? What kind of property and possessions? You know, it just takes me into Romans 8:32, which I don't have a slide for. But I'm going to read it to you. It's going to change your life. Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Right? He's given us so much more than just forgiveness. Although that's huge. Grace, although that's huge. But that's like the entryway to the door, and everything else is ours too because of him, right? And he wants it. I mean, you know, the prodigal son story, the good son, he was complaining about his father, you know, getting all excited about his prodigal son coming home. And the dad said, why are you complaining? Everything I own is yours. Right? Like, enter through the doorway of grace and forgiveness. But now it's time to enjoy the fact that you own the estate along with Jesus, right? And he wants that. He wants you to invest that. And you're going to be like, well, what does that look like? That's a great time to start opening this prayer in your heart right now. You know what I mean? I'm not here to tell you. I got no three-point sermon that says these are the three things Jesus gave you and these are the three things he wants back, right? Each one of us, he's given us something. And to him who's been forgiven much loves much, right? So some of us, our story of just forgiveness and grace has got to begin to come out and become something. And now one of us may not have that story because we, you know what I mean? Each one of us has something else that I can't tell you, like, these are the three things. Right? I just know that these servants were given stuff that didn't belong to them, and they were told to invest it, that he's coming back and he wants it. All right. This is going over well. I'll keep going. Ability. He gave it to them according to their ability. And what's fun about that? Guess what word that is? You guys will, anybody who's been in church for more than 5 years know this, knows this word. Have you ever heard the word dunamis? What does it mean? Power. Very good. What's the word that it comes, that it, in our everyday language, that it actually forms? Dynamite. Thank you. So all you Bible scholar people here. Like, he gave them things from his house, the possessions, his property, he entrusted unto them according to the dunamis that was in their life, the power of God that was given to each one of them. If you're like, I don't have power, or even worse, I don't believe in power, you are screwed. Right? Because he's coming for stuff. Like, he wants you to invest it. And if you're just going to do it in your own strength, what do you got? Hey, Google. Hey, Siri. How do I invest the things of God? It makes no sense, does it? So this force, this dunamis, if you really want the Strong's definition, it's literally a force, specifically miraculous power, ability, and abundance. So then I started to say, well, you know, we can all get confused on what that could look like. So I just began to pull a bunch of random scriptures out of the New Testament that uses that word, just so that we could see it in action. And I tried to pick a variety so that we wouldn't all trip over the one thing, you know, because we love tripping on one thing, don't we? That's what makes our country great. sorry, I offended you. Matthew 9:28. We're doing it in the Chinese food version, the MSG, get it? Okay, the Message version. When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you really believe I have this dunamis, I can do this?" And they said, "Yes." "Why, yes, Master," and he healed them. So the first thing we know of is that dunamis that he gives us has the power to heal, right? Matthew 12:29, this is a deliverance scripture. How many of you have actually walked through deliverance? Yeah, not enough hands, honestly. Not enough hands. For who is, and I underlined it, powerful enough, who has the dunamis to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and plunder his house. Amen. Right? That's a deliverance scripture. Who has the power to go right into a broken, hurting person's life and rip out and destroy the works of Satan and take it and make it God's? Jesus, Christ in us, hope of glory. That's power. That's dunamis, right? He gave us his goods according to our dunamis, okay? Which means you have some of this, all right? Matthew 12:34, Jesus was yelling at some hypocrites. He said, "You brood of snakes, how could evil men have the dunamis," which is not in English, it's just right there. I could only underline could because they didn't put it in English, okay? It's there though. "How could evil men have dunamis to speak what is good and what is right? Whatever's in your heart determines what you say." Even the ability to watch our own language, to not say hurtful things, to not snap, to not lose our stuff, comes from a dunamis of the Holy Spirit within us. And if we're evil, if we haven't surrendered our lives, we don't have it. And so therefore, what's in us comes out of us. Blah. Matthew 17:19-20, reading again from the Message. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, "Why couldn't we throw it out?" Talking about a demon. Why didn't we have the dunamis to throw it out? And Jesus didn't say, "Because you're not Jesus." Right? These are the guys where the dunamis in some churches believe it ended with them. And they're saying, "Why didn't we have it?" Well, no. Well, if they didn't have it, dang. All right? But because you're not yet taking God seriously, is that what he said? The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain move and it would move, and there's nothing that you wouldn't be able to tackle. That's the dunamis that he's saying. It's triggered by faith. Right? And so the implication is here, I'm giving you my goods. I'm going on a 2,000-year trip. I'm coming back. I want you to invest this for me. That implies we have to have faith. And it's not a lot. It's like poppy seed size. Right? Not a lot. Just enough. But it's something, right? You with me? Okay. Luke 21:15. Jesus said, "For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will have the dunamis power to reply or refute you." That's a wisdom that is far above our own. Right? So cool. John 5:19, Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son," that's he himself, Jesus, "does not have the dunamis to do anything by himself," right? He can do nothing. It has no dunamis apart from God himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So he's modeling for us. Jesus saying, okay, I'm going on this 2,000-year trip, and I'm giving you my goods, and I want you to invest them, and I want you to apply faith. But he's also saying, but I also only want you to do the things that you know that the Father is doing and say only the things that the Father's saying. Easier said than done. How do I know? I have to spend the time knowing him intimately. If I don't spend that time, I'm just reading a book and hoping that I'm mimicking it properly. Know what I mean? You ever given your kids the right textbook answer and it fell short? It's like, wait a minute. I just gave them the Ward Cleaver answer. That should have changed everything. And it didn't. Right? Because sometimes having the right answer but not having the connection in the heart with the one who's speaking that truth means that we're just repeating blah, dead words, right? That's the difference between religion and relationship. We don't really want religion. It's a waste of our time. We want the relationship, amen? So once again, the call to the master going away and leaving us and trusting us with those things that are his is a call to deeper intimacy. It's simple algebra. May the Lord bless you. Last one, John 15:5. I'm sorry I've gone over a lot of these scriptures, but I'm not sorry because I wanted you to understand through a smattering of opportunities what this dunamis power looks like. Jesus said in the last one on 15:5, John, yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you have no dunamis. You could do nothing. So Jesus is sending them out and saying, remember, stay connected. Apart from me, you got nothing. But with me, dunamis. Okay? With me, without me. That's right. Who wants to do it without him? Okay, Matthew 25:28, back to our story. Now, the reason I just jumped to the end of the story is because I need to give you a spoiler alert, one point on this whole dunamis concept, where the one guy who only received one thing didn't invest it. He threw it in a hole in the ground, right? And then he gave it back to the master like, here you go. You gave me something. I'm giving it right back. There's no investment. There's no return. Here you go. You want it? And this master says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. That's a lot of THs. But you get the concept. If you're faithful in the little, you'll be made faithful in much. But if you can't be faithful with the little. So for any of us that would even have the courage to raise your hand and say, like, I feel like I have no dunamis in my life. The point is we're going to have to step out there and use what little bit you have. You got to find it and you got to invest it. Because if you're not investing even what little you have, don't expect more. And when you watch those who are willing to step out and be undignified and kind of idiotic for the sake of loving others, for reaching out, you know, you're going to start to see that they're going to grow in that. Right? Anybody ever grown in your own personal unique dunamis? Yeah? Anybody seen someone else grow in their own personal dunamis over like a couple years? They're like, whoa, that guy or that girl, right? Wow. All right, so we know it's true. It's not theoretical, right? It's experiential. Okay. Good. Just want to make sure I'm talking to the right people. Okay, Matthew 25. Now I'm going back again. I just got over my Quentin Tarantino tell you the end of the story, go back moment. we're reading Matthew 25:16, and I am going fast. I apologize. I'm just trying to make it in time for the brunch. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded, I underline that because I'm coming back, with the same and made them 5 other talents, right? So he invested 5, he came back with a total of 10. Make sense? Doubled the investment. Not a bad ROI, 100%. I would love that in stock trading or crypto. And likewise, he that had received 2 also gained other 2. So he was 100%. And here's another spoiler alert. The Lord was just as happy with the guy who invested five and made five as the guy who invested two and made two. It was not about totals. It was not about amounts. It was about percentages. Did you give me everything? I gave you everything. Did you give me everything? Yay. You get to have that discussion with Jesus. I get to sit here and watch. Lord, am I giving you everything? I got to do this in my own private time, so you didn't get to see me do it. Why did I underline traded? Because it is the Greek word ergozomai, which means to toil and engage, to commit, to labor, to minister, to work. We're New Englanders. We love work. Right? So, you know, that word in the King James, traded, can actually be a little misguiding because it gives you the feeling like you were kind of investing, buying and selling. But the term is actually to work, to toil, to engage, right? And so he took these five talents and he engaged with them, he worked with them, and somehow on the other side of that came out with double, right? He loves, Jesus loves to watch us toil and engage with the things that he's given us. He loves it. I mean, that's like joy, right? I always talk about kids just because it's relatable to me at least, but ever watched your kids do something that was awesome in your mind and you're like, that's a reflection of me? He gets that from me, you know. Right? But think about it, like giving Jesus the joy of saying, he gets that from me, she gets that from me, you know. That's me inside. It's right? It just brings him that happiness. The only way we're really going to know him is by experiencing his mission. You know, a lot of us came to Christ and it was all about the destination when we came, and that's okay. I'm not here to like down that. It's got to start somewhere. We came to Christ because of the destination, but heaven is the destination, but really the mission is what he called us into, the go into the world, to live the gospel, right? Yes, we signed up for the retirement, but if you want the retirement, you also signed up for the career, right? And they're not separable. They're the same, right? Okay. And then also remember 1 John 3:8, Jesus said, this is why the Son of Man has come, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Who likes to destroy stuff? I do. All the guys at least do. Ladies, you know, you're nurturers, you don't. But guess what? You're getting signed up in the destructive workplace as well. And we are here to destroy the works of the devil. If we see hurt, bondage, brokenness, someone taking advantage of someone, someone stealing freedom, someone choking out someone else's life, that's what we're called to engage, right? And not to be a part of that problem, right? The scripture says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Very good. And I have to believe that wherever the lordship of Jesus is demonstrated, that's where the liberty is. It's not just where his Spirit is, because his Spirit's everywhere. And we already know that not everywhere is there liberty, right? So there's something more that Jesus is saying than just by its existence, my Spirit creates liberty. Yes, he does, but it's wherever we allow him to demonstrate and manifest among us is where that liberty comes, right? So when we make room for him, when we make him feel welcomed, when we roll out the red carpet and we prepare a place and we set it all up and we allow him, we host him, that's where liberty comes, right? So he's doing all the work, but we're doing all the hosting. And so, you know, that the have you had this whole chicken and egg problem in your heart that's like, well, if God really wanted this freedom to happen, why doesn't he just do it? And then you hear that voice inside that says to you, well, if you really cared, why wouldn't you engage? And then you say, but it's not about me. It's about him. He's got the power. And he's right. I'm going to put this to rest for you. You host. He does the work. But if you're not hosting, how is he going to show up? He'll go find someone else and leave you sniveling over the anger that you feel that he's not doing it.
He wants you to see
You're welcome. You're right. He wants you to seek him. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, that word Lord is Kyrios, supreme in authority. He's the controller. He's the master. He is Sir. So there's a demonstration of not only the Spirit, but he's the Spirit of the Lord. He's the Spirit of the one who's the master, who is in charge, and he is Sir. And it doesn't matter what you're inviting him into. The moment that he comes in, everything has to stand at attention. Everything takes the lesser place, including us and our agenda and what we want. And all. I mean, yes, sir, right? We host the Sir, and he walks in, and he makes it his. It's really cool. To those of you who have had it done in your life, you're like, yes, right? And then we maintain this little pocket of control in our life, and we're like, but don't do that here. I like this mess. It's pretty, right? This is the last 90, I mean, like the last 5%. We've been delivered of 95. We're like, but I want to protect this 5% of my junk. It's so important to me, my precious. That's right. All right, I am watching my watch. It's fun. Matthew 25, 18 to 19. This could be training. He that had received one went and digged into the earth and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Please don't be reckoneth with. Now, that word is actually means computed or calculated. He's not coming to be mean. He's not stepping up to and putting on his mean daddy face. Right? He really is just there to take an account. Okay. Like, let's open the books. I gave you five. What'd you give me? Right? And the guy who multiplied the five, he didn't come to the Lord going like, is this enough? Right? He's like, I got five here. Right? It's exciting. It's fun. Let's go to the reckoning. It'll be a party. How do you know? How do you know? Because the next verse is Matthew 25, 20 through 23 says, so he that received five talents came, brought the other five talents, saying, Lord, you deliverest unto me five. Behold, I have gained beside them five more. And his Lord said to him, ready? This is not the big mean dad face. He said, well done, good faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the... Can you say it? Joy of the Lord. The Lord showed up with joy to have this accounting session. He came with joy, and it was the one servant who robbed him of that moment, but it was the two, the majority, who walked in and just contributed to the joy and then got to share in the joy. You know what I mean? Like, so this moment is not judgment day, dun, dun, dun. It's to those who are, like, in the will of the Lord. There is no fear of judgment, right? You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm trying to communicate, because I want all of us to enter the joy of the Lord, to actually want to live in the joy of the Lord, and then I want to live eternally in the joy of the Lord, right?
But that doesn't say the joy of the Lord. It says the joy of thy Lord, your possessing.
Yeah. Yep. That's cool. That is cool. So... what is it about us humans that, like that first servant, the one who dug a hole in the earth, what is it about us that when we are deficient or depleted, we want to go hide that fact and try to pretend like everything's cool? And we all deal with it, right? What is it? It's like some human thing. It started with Adam and Eve, and it's just continued on, at least into my life and your life. Like, nothing's perfect, and yet we want to... oh, yeah, fine. Why? It's like, it's the precursor to the wicked, slothful servant. Why didn't you invest what I gave you, right? The precursor to that is the, oh, I'm fine. I'm doing great. Let me button, right? Why? It's rhetorical. There's no answer. You're going to see that the Lord is going to be frustrated with the simple act of hiding his investment. He wasn't frustrated because the servant attempted and failed. Do you hear that? Mm-hmm. Failure is inevitable. Failure happens all the time. He has the ability of turning our failures into victories. Amen. He gives us beauty for ashes. That's my God. What about you? the one that he was frustrated with was the one who did the simple act of just hiding what he gave him, burying it and pretending like everything's fine, but it's not. Ooh. You know, I think that the master would be totally happy if he gave this servant the one talent and the servant went over to his buddy and was like, "Hey, Joe, I don't know what to do with my coin. What are you doing?" And Joe's like, "Well, I'm going to invest it in XYZ. Well, Joe, can you show me? Because I don't know. I haven't been doing this, and I've got my own brokenness and my own junk, and I got to tell you how I'm vulnerable and broken in these three areas. Will you help me?" And Joe's going to say, "Get your own idea," right? And Joe's going to say, "Yeah," right? And so I believe that if that story, that if the two servants walked in together and they were like, "You know, I was kind of intimidated when you gave me this coin, but I found somebody. He helped me, and I turned your one coin into half a coin additional," right? And it's not as much as what he did, but I sorry. And then I think the master would be like, "Don't feel that way. You tried. Good on you," right? "Come enter in my joy. I celebrate the fact that you partnered with people that you recognized where my dunamis was at work and they were responsible with what little they had. You recognized it. You engaged. You didn't just hide it and pretend that like you were just as good as the next. When you were broken, you found some solution, and I applaud that," you know?
Yeah, it's not about the return. It's about the effort.
Right. You're right. So for those of you who didn't hear Andrew, he said it's not about the return. It's about the effort. And I'm just trying to point out this concept, this aha moment, that sometimes we were called to partner with other people when we feel like we are not enough in and of ourselves. And don't think that that's a bad idea. Jesus sent them out two by two, didn't he? Because sometimes when one's strong and another's weak, and another's weak, another is strong, and we just need to be completely ready for that. Two are better than one, and a three cord is not easily broken, right? And you know what? This concept needs to be said. Every leader in this church is going to be broken and useless in some area because we're not perfect, right? And so we need to partner with you in your strength, and don't look down on us, and we won't look down on anybody else if we're not perfect in certain areas, right? And that doesn't disable or disqualify the way that we can invest in others, just like your imperfectness does not disqualify, right? Okay, that's not a precursor for, "Hey, I'm living in sin and I'm proud of it," okay? But you get what I'm saying, right? I don't want you to think that there are these perfect Christians and then there are these other losers. That's not true. We're all kind of like losers filled with the grace of God. Broken vessels, earthen vessels, carrying God's glory so that it's seen that it's his and not our own, right? And so I'm standing in total humility. God help the guy who digs the hole and says, "I'm fine. Oh, yeah, you should see what I'm cooking up right now. I got this idea." Who? Right? Partner with people of dunamis. Okay? Man, I had this quote that someone I deeply respect had written in a book. And I hope I can find it quickly because it's worth sharing. Yep, found it. "An important key to receiving an impartation from the Holy Spirit is the principle of recognition. In a church meeting, we have to be sensitive to the spiritual realm in order to recognize if there is a genuine anointing being ministered. If I attend a meeting where a servant of God is ministering by the anointing, I recognize it. Don't assume everyone recognizes the anointing. They don't. Don't assume everyone who preaches carries an anointing. They don't. And likewise, don't assume everyone is as hungry as you are because they aren't." So we even have to be led by the Spirit with the people we're going to partner with. But man, partnering is of him. Right? And so I'm just applauding any of you who are struggling and being vulnerable and open about it and partnering with people. And some of you have accountability people. I applaud that. Perfection is not the precursor to his anointing. It's brokenness. Yes, Peter. If... you're troubled?
In January of 2019, I just decided I was going to live in the joy of the Lord.
Yep.
Okay, and I've told other people, just decide it. Yep. The joy of the Lord is around all over the place. He dumps it out all over the place. Mm-hmm. What this is telling me is that's phony, because I hadn't done a lot of stuff delivered to him to earn it.
Why does it have to be stuff?
I don't know. It just it's these talents
that way, right?
Yes, you have.
So, and it was oil before, right? And so, like in the previous story.
Well, the result I had was my life completely changed in 2017 after that decision. So I've assumed that that was a good thing to do. But I'm just thinking, is it really phony?
No.
Okay.
No. Because if, and I think what you're asking is, what is the measure of success, right? And if the measure of success is things, measurable buildings, acts of goodness, I fed 5,000 people, you only fed 3,000 people, right? I only watch PG-13 and you watch R, I don't drink and you have two. And right, and all this garbage that's not really about the heart, it's about the measurable outcomes, right? And so, hey, if you're going to invest your heart into joy and you're going to be a source of joy to people, and that joy is not your own joy, it's the one that the Master gave you, and you're going to multiply that and then give that out, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
That's my alarm. Okay. Well, thank you, God. That means we have to pray, because what comes after prayer? Eating. Children. Children are going to come barreling through. And yes. So let me see where I am here. Did that answer the question, Peter, well enough, at least for starters, and then we can continue? Oh, he's talking. All right, I drew my line here. That's the end of that. And maybe I'll come back. Maybe I won't. But next week, I am so very excited because our brother Casey is going to be teaching.
Casey!
That's next week. You know what you're going to talk about yet? As long as you know 5 minutes before you get up, it's good. So I want to pray about a couple of things, and let's put it on the screen. And these are the four concepts that, you know, number one, Lord, make me faithful with the power and possessions you've entrusted with me. Now, did you notice we said power, right? Power I would also put into that, you know, as Peter was saying, fruit of the Spirit stuff. Right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Things that can turn the world upside down but have no value in the economic systems of this world. People have no value for love, and yet love can change a person's life, right? Joy can light up a person's world, right? Peace passes understanding, guards your heart, guards your mind, and yet peace almost has no value to the world until you have had it and experienced it, and you're like, oh, right? Self-control, man. I applaud a person who can have self-control around us, right? Thank you, God. So that's your prayer, right? Make me faithful in those areas. I want to double that. Lord, you've given me a measure of faith. I'm double that in my life, right? You've given me a measure of love, patience. People say, don't pray for patience. Pray for patience. Anything worth having is worth the struggle to get it, right? It's an investment. Do it. Let my heart come alive in engaging and committing to your work. I want to know you in the mission and not just the destination. Right? Number three, take my eyes off of my needs so I can be a blessing to others. And let's put that back in the category of some of that's fruit of the Spirit stuff. I just need to feel loved. I just need to feel appreciated. You know what? Let's say God send me. Because if the only thing stopping us from moving forward is the inner need, guess what? The need is now dictating your life. And I guess what I'm trying to say in bullet number three is, God, I give, take away the lordship of my need from driving and controlling my life, and I give it to you, right? The lordship. And then the last one, show me how to partner with your dunamis power in the Holy Spirit and those filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes? All the people who like to work by themselves said, no, I like to work alone. Lord, the desire to know you starts here and now. It doesn't wait for eternity. Now I'm ready to know you because I can finally see you, Lord. God, you're here. You're offering up in this mystery. In what appears to be a cloud sometimes, where we can only see through the glass dimly and darkly, Lord, this is invitation to come and know you, to know you, God, to be like you. And Father, you're offering your Son Jesus to us through the Holy Spirit for intimacy, for daily connection, Lord, and sometimes we feel inadequate. Sometimes we're just totally not interested. Other times we're craving. We don't know how to get there because we're just broken and frustrated and we're all worked up. And God, you remain faithful and constant through all of those ups and downs that we experience. Holy Spirit, I invite you to change us, to level out the ups and downs and make us secure in you and to pursue you intimately, to know you in the mission. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will just take off of our hearts any condemnation or any lies that's telling us we're not doing enough, we're not working hard enough. There, that voice needs to be quiet, Father. Let us hear the voice of the shepherd telling us which way to go and let us go. God, I pray for each person in here who their heart jumped when they heard words like fruit of the Spirit. And they knew that God was calling them to a deeper place of investing the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, peace, patience, kindness. Lord, you're calling them to multiply that in their life. Oh God, hear that, recognize that. Allow them to feel the joy that you feel as you hear them say that. Lord, call them into the joy now, call them into the joy after. Let them experience that, Lord, you are happy when your kids exhibit your nature. To others, Father, there's a dream, there's a feeling or a sense that they're supposed to do. God, let us not take that do on as a burden. Let us walk into it like it's a passion or a dream that we have in us with you. And Father, let that thing just be controlled by you, fueled by you, measured by you, empowered by you. I just thank you, Father, that I guess the number one feeling I have today is that you want to take the drudgery and the shame and the condemnation out of the obedience discussion. And so, Father, where your Spirit is demonstrated, I ask for liberty to fall in this place right now in Jesus' name. I ask for hearts and minds to be saved, delivered, and healed from the drudgery of obedience, God, and the feeling that they're not enough. Let them enter into the joy of their salvation, God. And Father, for those of us who felt that it's time to begin to partner with people, Lord, I pray that we will not even engineer that ourselves, but Lord, you will bring organically, supernaturally, people into our lives that we are to partner with in ways, God, where we can be vulnerable and yet not be judged, where we'll be allowed and accepted where we are and yet not given the grace to stay there forever. God, just partner us with people that are going to bring the best out. Partner us with people who are going to invest alongside of us, God, and multiply what you've given us. And God, before we conclude, I'd like to just worship you and thank you and say, God, thank you that you would entrust us with anything. Sometimes we as humans, we're begrudging the fact that you are giving us something, and at the same time, we've just totally lost fact. We were never faithful without you. We don't deserve you pouring anything into our life. And yet you did it, and you see us as enough. And you want to take this journey with us, and we're just grateful that you want to take this journey, God. Thank you for inviting us into your story. Thank you for saying that we are enough, that we are loved, that you're thrilled to be with us, God, and that you're happy with us. Thank you, Father. Does anyone feel led to add into that prayer time as a body? Please don't say no, because we got like 2 minutes to fill.
Lord, I just want to thank you that the only prerequisite you have is our willingness, and that that saying, you don't call the qualified, you qualify the called. It sounds so cheesy, but it's just so true that you can't ignore it.
Yeah.
That if we come to you and say, this is what I've got, and even if that's scary, you're going to do something with it, and we can have faith that you're not going to let us fall flat on our face, because that's not what you're about, Lord. And so thank you for being a good, good dad. Thank you for wanting closeness with us. Thank you for not expecting anything but our willingness. And we just trust you, Lord, with our efforts and the discernment and the discretion of what we can bring and what we need to leave behind.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Lord, continue to speak to us about this throughout the week. We look forward to living out this discussion, God. And we just thank you for mercy and for supernatural dunamis in our life that will bring this to pass. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I think the kids are coming now. Yeah, awesome. While they're coming, Micah, if you don't mind, you're like just getting ready. And then for those of you, I felt this certain little emphasis, power on when I said that for some of us, dunamis is just letting good things come out of our mouth from a good heart, that can simply be the power of God at work. And so for some of us, you're like thinking about great things. It's like, hey, what if we could just change the way we speak? Just words, right? It's not huge. It's simple. All right, cool. Thanks, guys.